In Psalms 56, verse 8, it's not our text, okay? The Bible says this. It says, "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears in thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" Tonight I want to talk about tears. There's a lot of things going on that people will cry about. There's a lot of issues going on that will distress us. But you know something? We have a loving God. We have a God of all grace and all mercy. Several things that we know about tears. Some people have tears of sorrow because of a lost one, because of situations. Jeremiah was a man like that. And in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1, he says this, "Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I may weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." You know, the situations that we're in a world situation, our country situation, should drive us to tears. Tears of sorrows for what has happened. Tears that we want to repent, like Daniel, and have a national revival.
Amen.
Yes, there are tears of sorrows. Sometimes there's tears of loneliness that you just don't think anyone hears you, including God. David thought this in Psalm 42, verse 3. He says, "My tears have been my meat day and night." He wasn't doing anything else except crying. And he says, "While they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" You know, sometimes we feel that there's no hope. Sometimes that we feel that there's no help. But there's always hope and help in God. Because God can deliver us from those tears. In Psalm 116, verse 8, it says, "For thou hast delivered me, my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." You know, there's no problem too big that God can't solve. There's no sin too big that God can't forgive. There's no hole that you're in far enough down that God can't reach down and bring you out. But you got to believe. There's no tear that God can't solve. In fact, there will be no tears in eternity. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 4, we've heard this. It's saying God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more day. There is coming a day.
Amen.
There's coming a day when it's all over. And we'll be in His presence. There'll be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Tonight I want to talk about six things about tears. Six things about tears tonight. The first one is, you know, sometimes we need tears of faith. In chapter 9 of Mark, Peter, James, and John are on the Mount of Transfiguration. They're seeing the glory of God firsthand. The other disciples are on the bottom in the working the world's problems. And there's a man that brings his son to them. And he's got a problem. He's demon possessed. And basically, the disciples who were commissioned to do this couldn't do anything about it. And so Christ comes down from the mountain, and the Father comes up to Christ, and He says this, and it says, "And straightway the Father cried out, oh, do you have a wayward child? Oh, do you have a sick child? Oh, do you have problems in your family? Cry out to God." Cry out to God. It says, "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears." You know, sometimes we need to get serious with God. Sometimes we need to pour our heart out to God. It says, "And cried out with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." You know, we need tears of faith when we have a tremendous need. Something that's much bigger than us. Because that's how faith can grow in our lives. That's how we can be more like Christ. He had tears of faith for a tremendous need. He wanted his family made whole. He wanted his son to be made whole. Folks, that's worth crying for. That's worth crying out to God for. And he saw he was looking for a tremendous intervention. Why don't we give up trying to solve problems our way and let God in? Why don't we give up and let God work the issue? Why don't we get up and go to God's Word and see the answers? Because everything's in here for life and godliness.
Amen.
So there are tears of faith. There's tears of devotion. There's tears of devotion. The story is told in Luke chapter 7 where Christ goes to a Pharisee's house, a self-righteous person and a sinner. Oh, I'm so glad that Jesus is friend of sinners like me. Okay? Before the grace of God, there go I. Christ came to save sinners, and Paul says, of whom I am chief. You know, some, we're not too good at all. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So he's at meat. He's eating dinner with this Pharisee. Man, this woman comes in. And we know the story in Luke chapter 7, verse 38 says, and stood at his feet behind him weeping. Now here's someone that the society has cast out. The Pharisee and his self-righteous. If you knew what kind of person that was touching you, God, you may have a different idea, but I'm so glad that God is gracious. It says, I stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears. Now that shows that there was a lot of crying going on. Folks, sometimes we need to let it all out, basically. And it says, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. See, we need tears of devotion. Because you know something? I think too often we don't understand the preciousness of God. If we truly understand what God has done in our life, it should cause tears of joy. It should cause tears of devotion. It should understand, we should cry out for, God, you have delivered me from this. It says so in the psalm. It demonstrated the preciousness of God. You know, she didn't have much to offer, but she could offer herself. She could offer her tears because she understood that Christ was precious. The second thing was, is it realizes the recognition of God. See, Christ said this, used it as an illustration. He said, you didn't do anything. He tells the Pharisee, you didn't greet me. You didn't anoint me. You didn't do anything. This woman comes in and gives all that she has out. And what are you doing? What are we doing tonight for God? We should be crying tears of faith. We should be crying tears of devotion. We should be crying tears of service. Tears of service. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is on his way back to Jerusalem for the last time. On the way back, he goes to a little coast town called Miletum. It's close by to Ephesus, and he brings the elders down. He says, I don't have enough time to get to Ephesus because I want to get there before the feast. So he calls the elders down, and they have a prayer meeting on the shore. Paul had been in Ephesus for 3 years. He has sent Timothy, as we talked about in our study in Titus, he sent Timothy to Ephesus to be the pastor there. And basically, he goes and he says to these elders that came down from Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, verse 19, he says, serving, he talks, he says, you understand me. You understand my testimony. Folks, do people understand your testimony for God? How devoted are we? How faithful are we? How empowered are we by His grace? It says, serving the Lord with all humility in mind. And with what? Many tears. Many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews. See, the issue is that tears are worth it. Tears truly mean that you mean what you say and that you mean business. And he says, you know, I've been through your trials. I've been with you through the bad times. I've been with you through the good times. You know, we're supposed to lift carry one another's burdens, so fulfill what? The law of Christ. See, tears of service, that's worth it. Oh. It shows others your heart. You know, I think too often we have been conditioned by society to not show emotion, to not show our true feelings. Christ did. He's God. What makes us so special that we're not supposed to show how we really feel? And we need to be consumed by God and His grace and His Holy Spirit. You know, look at how Paul wrote to Titus. And we just studied that. How he writes to the Corinthians. How he wrote to Philemon. How he wrote to Timothy. How he wrote to the other churches. And we can see the heart of Paul. And you know, the big thing here is Paul didn't want that work to go to nothing. He didn't want that work to go to vain. He wanted to show that his interest in them was absolutely genuine. And so he tells these elders here, we'll get another point out of this passage here in a second. He says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with what? Many tears. You know, we ought to cry out and cry just because God could use someone like us to serve. You know, some people may cry because they lost opportunity. Oh, folks, let God work in your life. I guarantee you a change of perspective. You may even cry for joy for that. So there's tears of faith, there's tears of devotion, there's tears of service, and then there's tears of sympathy. We just talked about Timothy here. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. You know, when we have a close friend, and we've had that several times being in the military, you develop relationships, and then all of a sudden you're transferred and they're transferred somewhere else, and the likelihood of you coming crossing paths may not happen again. And I remember crying when we left Mission Baptist Church in Songtong, Korea. I remember people crying when we left other churches. And I remember crying for them. Don't you have close friends that you cry for when you're apart? And Paul and Timothy had such a close relationship. It says here, it says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears. See, Timothy wanted to be with Paul too. Timothy was going through a lot of trouble up there at Ephesus. And Paul's trying to encourage him. He said, Paul says, I really want to see you. I understand what you're going through. And I know you want to see me. That I might be what? Filled with joy. See, tears of sympathy shares the burden. And that's how we fulfill the law of Christ. By sharing one another's burdens. You know, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that we're supposed to comfort those with the same comfort that God gives us. Oh, why don't we have that sympathy for other people? Tears of sympathy shares the burden. They know that you care. You know, there's too much superficial nature in the world today. And unfortunately, I think there's too much superficiality in churches today. We put on a face, we put on a facade when we come to church. But in reality, we might even go out here and start talking about the same people that we're just kind of helping in the church. It should not be that way at all. Should not be that way at all. And I hope, and I pray, that's my prayer for our church, that we never get to that point. But it happens. But it happens. It shares the burden. And it makes the longing mutual. See, Paul wanted to be with Timothy as much as Timothy wanted to be with Paul. We need to have that. We need to have close relationships with other Christians. And that should cause us to be wanting to be together in fellowship.
Amen.
So there's tears of faith, there's tears of devotion, there's tears of service, there's tears of sympathy, and then there's tears of warning. Go back to Acts chapter 20. When Paul was up at Ephesus, the Judaizers had came in and they had been an adversary to him. He actually said there's a great and effectual door and there are many adversaries here. And so he stays there for 3 years and he pours his life into them. Now he's not going to see them anymore. And see, Paul knew something. Paul knew that he was going to go and they're on their own, that they were going to have the exact same attacks. Because we're not ignorant of his devices. We know exactly where Satan's going to attack. He attacks the same way all the time. Maybe just a little bit different nuance. And he says this, he says early up in that chapter, he talks about, he says, but there's going to be grievous wolves come among you. It's going to be deceitful. They're going to try to take the disciples away. You know, that's the issue with all the missionaries that we support. They're on the foreign field. They pour their lives in it, just hope that they don't go back into the culture that they were taken from. It says in Acts chapter 20, verse 31, it says, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Amen. Doesn't it break your heart when you pour your life into someone and they go on and they do it anyway? You say, don't do that. You do it. We ask our kids not to do it. And they just go on and they do their own thing. People just won't what? Listen. And it breaks your heart. We want the best for them. God wants the best for us. He wants us to go on the narrow path. This is the way. Walk ye in it. See, there's tears of warning here from Paul from experience. Everywhere he went, he was persecuted. He was stoned and whipped and beaten and left for dead. And then he go to another town. Guess what? They all followed him there. And they started it up again. And there were riots in cities and everything else. And Ephesus was no different. In fact, Ephesus had the great big riot. Because people turned from Diana to Christ. And put the silversmiths out of business. Oh, he said, look. He says, I know what's coming. I know what's going to happen. I can't be around. I want to be around to help you. I want to be around to encourage you. But you need to just go on this. And Paul knew what was going to happen. Oh, don't take this message lightly. Don't walk out here tonight and say, oh, that was nice, and not learn from experience. Oh, folks, we need to understand the lessons that we learn. So we're not like Israel, and we keep on repeating the same mistakes over and over again. Tears of warning from experience. But tears of warning for encouragement. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Amen.
Oh, folks, we need to cry more. We need to have tears of faith. We need to have tears of devotion. Just the honor of serving God should cause us to cry. We need to have tears of service. That when we're serving, we know that we're going for a higher cause, a greater calling, and not just for the accolades of men. We need tears of sympathy, knowing that there's people. Rose is such an encouragement to me. Elsie is such an encouragement. They want to be here so bad. And some people don't come because of convenience. Oh, it breaks my heart. Oh, we need to have tears of sympathy. And then there are tears of warning. And folks, when we see people go the wrong way, it should cause us to pray even harder. It should cause us to pray even harder. The last layer, there's tears of regret. There's tears of regret. We should not have tears of regret. We should always be looking forward unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, there's the sad story of Esau and Jacob. You know, we could go into all that stuff. But you know, when Esau found out that his inheritance had been taken by Jacob, he goes here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 17. And it says, "For ye know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected." You know why? Because he rejected it in the first place. Okay? "For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears." Folks, tonight, don't leave here and later on have tears of regret. If God's working in your life tonight saying, you need to do something about it. You need to do this to get my blessing. Don't leave here without getting it right. This may be the last chance that you may have to get right with God. This may be the last chance that you may have to receive the blessing from God. This may be the last chance that you may have to get the salvation of God. Because see, the problem is when an opportunity is lost, there's helplessness. There's helplessness. Esau, you even know the story in Genesis. When he cried out, he says, "Is there not a blessing for me?" Oh, folks, the Christian should never be in that point. God never wants anybody to be in that point where they're helpless. He just says, "Hey, I'm here. I'm here." Because helplessness leads to hopelessness. The tears of regret are helplessness. The tears of regret are hopelessness. We can't recover what we had. But God can fix things. Amen. Oh, give us the vision. Get us the discernment that we will do things and we won't miss opportunities. And tonight, if there's regret, lay them at the cross. Put them there and ask God to forgive you. And go from this place a different person. Go from this place a different person. Because though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as wool. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Bible says that in hell there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. There's regret there for decisions that they could have made in this life and didn't make it. There's no tears in heaven. There's a lot of tears in hell. And they're tears of regret. They're tears of pain. They're tears of agony. They're tears of sorrow. You don't have to go through that if you know Him as your Savior. And folks, our job is to show others that way to heaven through Christ. Amen? Amen. What are we shedding tears for tonight? Are we shedding tears because we're just into ourselves and we want things to go our way? Or are we shedding tears because there's an opportunity to serve God? And just the privilege of serving God will bring tears to our eyes. The sadness of people walking away from God should cause tears in our eyes to make us want to pray. God can fix this. God will wipe away all tears. Let Him wipe away the tears tonight. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, I just ask Be with this time of invitation. Father, help us, Lord, to get right with You tonight. Father, if someone does not know You as Savior, Lord, tonight, I pray that this would be the night of their salvation, that You would forgive their sins. They would cry out to You and ask You to forgive their sins because of Your death on the cross. And then give them eternal life because of Your resurrection afterwards. Lord, we just ask that You just have Your full reign here. Take away all distraction. Help Your Holy Spirit have full reign. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.